Good morning and good afternoon, church family, and happy Mother's Day. We are going to take a break from the tradition of hearing from one of our mothers, and I want to just be upfront with you. This is not going to be a typical message you'll hear on Mother's Day. But I want to be in steps with the Holy Spirit and pray that we will all hear what God is saying to us in this divine moment for the church. With that, we're going to read from John chapter 15, verse 1 through 15. So follow with me if you have your Bible or follow on the screen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, I must say, this is probably one of my favorite chapters in the Gospels. It is so hard to wrap our mind around this incredible promise that if we choose to abide in Christ, he'll do the same for us, and our humanity will be in complete union with his divinity. See, if we truly believe in this promise, this should really become our highest, utmost, our greatest pursuit in life. It means that by abiding in him, all of his divinity will be accessible, available to us. And that's how we are going to actually bear fruit that is not possible within the limits of our humanity. But this promise also comes with a disclaimer. It's a warning of some sort. This is also the part that's been very difficult for me to understand. Here we have this imagery of Jesus as a true vine, we as the branches, and the Father as the vine dresser. He takes away the branches that do not bear fruit, and then it says he prunes the branches that bear fruit. On the surface, it sounds like all God cares about is fruit. We can almost imagine God standing with his pruning shears, going through the trees, and if you don't have any fruit, you're gone. When you have fruit, you stay. But I'm not sure if this is really what Jesus meant. I think Jesus is really trying to explain that there are actually two kinds of branches and also two kinds of pruning. Let me start with the branches. The first kind has the shape and appearance of the real branches. It looks the part in every way, but it's not really connected to the vine. How is this possible? You'll find these kind of branches in the tree, but it actually has a color and the shape of the real tree. It may even have some leaves, but it's not really drawing life from the vine. It's just a twig that is just hanging there. The second kind, obviously, is the branch that is attached to the vine, and therefore it is growing. It has life in it. See, just because we show up once a week at church, or we carry a membership card, or we have baptism certificate, doesn't really make us true followers of Christ. The only way to know for sure is actually by abiding or remaining. It's not just one-time decision that we make, it's a lifelong pursuit. See, the scary part of this parable is that we can have the appearance of a real vine without being connected, without abiding, without remaining in Christ. And this is really Jesus' stern warning for having only the form of godliness without possessing the power that comes from the life in union with Christ, just as Paul said. Having no power to overcome sin, no power to rule over our flesh, no real authority over spiritual darkness. So, if I may paraphrase this verse, Jesus is really saying, hey guys, be careful. Just being around me or just finding yourself amongst other believers doesn't make you a real Christian. You must be attached to me. You have to abide in me and in my word. And so, there are also two kinds of pruning. The first kind is the removal of those loosely hanging branches that look the part but have no life in it. It's not contributing to the life of the tree. It has to be done because they're actually blocking other branches from growing. And then there is the cutting of the ones that have life. It is not very obvious in our English language, but the two words used here in this passage actually have the same root. One is airo, to take away or to remove. But the second word that Jesus chose here is actually a compound word, kathairo, which means the removal for the purpose of cleansing or purifying. Like removing dirt from your hands, or when you come home, you wash your hands for at least 20 seconds, right? That is why in the next verse, Jesus is saying, you're already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. You have been pruned by my word. That's what Jesus is saying. So the secret of our fruitfulness is not just more water or more sun, more fertilizer, but this kathairo or pruning process. Now, what does this have to do with this season we're in? See, I believe that God is doing both kinds of pruning through this COVID-19 crisis. There is a shaking or sifting that is taking place so that the things that do not have real life are actually being separated or removed from those that have life. I believe this is really the Hebrews 12:27 moment, when God is removing the things that are shaken, so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. God is separating, sifting things that are shakable from the unshakable. This will be true of some churches, even ministries, relationships. But there's another kind of pruning or cleansing that God is doing in this season. This is actually the more painful process than the former, because the second kind of branch has actually life in it. Dead branches don't feel a thing, but this will hurt if you are alive. Many of us have been praying that this season will actually birth a revival. I am all for it. I've been praying for revival, but we have to understand that there is actually a cost for revival. And the cost is that we have to be willing to go through this season of pruning, removal, or this kathairo moment before we see a revival. I know of no revival that was not born out of a season of profound repentance or turning away from sin, people coming into grips with their own depravity. The problem is that we want revival, but we also want to hold on to the very things that will keep us from being renewed or revitalized. See, through this crisis, God has been really exposing our character, our deepest motives, our intentions, our desires, values, our addictions, and idols. And you and I have a choice to make, whether to live with these things that God is exposing, or to partner with God to deal with those things so that we will come out of this purified and renewed. I've been having this intense toothache for the last 5 days or so. I actually had to call my dentist on Sunday, and I went in to see him on Monday. He took a few x-ray shots, but couldn't really figure out what was going on, whether it was a crack or infection. So he actually referred me to a specialist. So on Monday, I was able to get an appointment. When I went in and sat in his dental chair, he looked at it and smiled and handed a mirror over to me. And then he held this tiny flashlight on the other side of my aching tooth, and there it was. As I was looking into that mirror, there was this dark black line that was blocking the light. All it took was a light source and a mirror to find out there was a crack. Then he asked me this question, when this first actually happened. I said, about 2 years ago, and he said, how come you didn't take care of this then? I told him, it didn't really hurt, so I didn't think much of it. I didn't think it was a big deal. And then he took a CT scan and showed me what was actually happening. Because of this little tiny crack, the cavity in the root area were all blocked up and the nerves were all dying. Then he asked me this question, do you tend to chew on only one side? And I realized that as I think about how I eat food, I learned somehow to chew on only one side. And this was my way of compensating for the pain. I learned to chew on only one side and pretty much ignore this crack for nearly 2 years. And now I may actually lose a tooth. You probably know where I'm going with this story, but for me, it's just a tooth. But for some, it could be your life, whether it's physical or spiritual. There are things that we choose to live with, thinking it's not a big deal. everyone else is doing it, it's going to go away. I don't know about you, but I feel like God's been just shining his light through this crisis, exposing the cracks, the areas of my soul that needs to be dealt with, even some infections. And we have a choice to make, either to partner with God and go after these things that are infecting our soul, or continue to ignore and cover up what's being exposed by the light of the Holy Spirit, thinking it's not a big deal. It will be a big deal. This past Friday was one of those flashlight and mirror moments for me. I asked our girls during our dinner time, what is God showing you about yourself? So I know it's a difficult question to answer. So I started sharing some of my anger issues, impatience, pride, insecurities, unforgiving spirit, just to name a few. And as we went around in circle, I began to regret asking that question because what is God showing you about yourself quickly changed to what is God showing you about mommy and daddy. So when the conversation ended, Sandy and I both felt like we totally failed as parents. Sandy went to bed, crying herself to sleep. I went into my office just fuming in anger, and the next day, the whole house was literally silent the whole day. Sandy needed a day to herself, so she didn't come down. I just got into my office and just worked on putting the video together for Sunday. We didn't talk much as a family. The kids felt so bad. But in that very moment, the Lord revealed to us that he was simply exposing what was deeply hidden inside of my own heart. The kids were just being very honest and felt safe enough to share because I invited them into the conversation. But we didn't know how to take an honest criticism from the kids. And instead of trying to really listen and to understand what they were trying to say, we were so upset about what they said about us. I have to say, I was so thankful that I didn't have to come to church to preach the next day. So on Sunday, after our worship, we all gathered once again, and we decided to actually hike a hill in our neighborhood. And we took 6 helium-filled balloons with permanent markers, and by the time we actually got tired of walking, we sat down and wrote down all those things that God was exposing in our hearts. We wrote them down on the balloons, and we had a release ceremony. I know it's just a symbolic act, and releasing balloons will not actually take away those things, but at least we had a chance to agree with God that we had these issues that needed to be dealt with. And we were willing to go through a season of pruning. If I can illustrate this maybe in a more practical way, you see a tube of toothpaste here. Many of us will just assume that this is filled with white or green, refreshing, minty toothpaste. We don't know until we actually first open the cap and then squeeze it. Surprisingly, you're going to find out that it's actually not toothpaste that's coming out. It's some kind of brown pus or whatever yucky stuff that is. We would not dare to put this near our mouth. See, nobody likes being squeezed because it hurts, it's painful. But that's actually what is happening in this season. We're being squeezed, some having to overwork, having no space, some being bored, no way to gather with people or our loved ones, being isolated, feeling lonely, and even financial pressures, uncertainty. We want to find out what's inside. You have to open the cap and let things actually come out. If what Jesus is saying here is true, and we have a father who is a vine dresser, who is actively pruning even the good branches that are alive and fruitful, we must partner with him in this process. His intention is not to hurt us or punish us, but it is so that you and I will actually become even more fruitful. God's primary pursuit is not fulfilling our version of happiness. It's not even our welfare. But he's committed to forming Christ in all of us and out of us so that we will become a people worthy of his kingdom, that we will be filled with faith and courage for any and every circumstance we'll ever have to face in this life, that we will become unshakable. Let me just pose a few questions for you to reflect and process. What areas of your life has God been exposing in this season? What are some areas that need to die or to be pruned away? What are some things that need to be left behind? Will you let the Spirit of God search your heart, even if He has to squeeze out the pus and remove the parts that keep causing us to sin? I want you to reflect on some of these questions, and I hope and pray that your response will be, Lord, here I am. I open myself up to you. I bring myself under your loving hands. Prune my life. Cleanse my life. Take out the things. Remove the things that need to be taken away. Will you join me in prayer? Father, I'm just so grateful for what you're doing in this season, in my life, as well as in the life of this church. Father, we pray that you will continue to shine the light of your Holy Spirit into us, into the crevices of our broken souls. Father, I pray that there will be just a clear conviction and voice that keeps coming. Father, may your word become ever more alive in our lives, Lord. As you have spoken so clearly, Lord, it is your word that prunes our lives and serves as a mirror and also the light. So, Lord, we welcome your pruning hands. We welcome your light, and we open ourselves so that the things that need to be taken away will be exposed, and that we'll have the courage and faith to open ourselves up to you. Father, we pray that we will not waste this opportunity to grow and be transformed. Father, we do not want to come out of this crisis worse than how we entered into this season. But I pray that this will be a season of true transformation, a true growth, so that we can become more fruitful. May your Son, Jesus Christ, be formed in all of us. Father, bestow upon us the heart of integrity, the character of Christ, the purpose and the priority of Christ be formed in each one of us in this season. We ask all these things in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.